Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Off the ball. Rugby.
I think he'd probably break my heart next Saturday, beating Munster fellas around Croke Park and trying to be on a dominant Leinster side. We'll see, obviously, about that.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.
Happy Thursday. You are very welcome along to Word on the Street, where every week we take a sporting topic, something that's dominating the headlines, and we take it to the public. I'm Susanna, and I'm here with Eve and Rachel, as always. How are we, guys?
Good. Just in case anyone's wondering why we look a little bit glam, looking forward to some post-show pints this evening.
Oh. Our braids went very different directions.
Yes, we had headshots, but we also have post-work pints.
Yeah, we're just glamming up the office every day this week.
You look fabulous. I didn't get glammed up for the post-work pint. Maybe I will before we go. I'll make that effort. I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay. You've had a long week.
I'm having a face for radio right now.
We can't say that. Nobody here has a face for radio.
No.
Purely. But this week's episode, we're on episode 22, and we've called it Maybe We Like the Misery, which was a direct quote from somebody in the comments of our Instagram post, but the misery being basically the Irish football team.
Yeah. So if you were to ask me, you know, how are you feeling this week? I would say dejected, which is odd because we won. Irish football is in a really weird stage right now where we can win a match and it's all these caveats like, but it's against Armenia, but we lost when we went to Yerevan, but Hungary and Portugal drew, so the table's still looking a bit shit and everything's slightly ambiguous.
I was listening to Cameron Hill, OTB's Cameron Hill, shout out, on the news round yesterday, and he was kind of putting to Keith Tracy, like, would you not let them celebrate the wins? Like, let them take this one thing. Like, yes, it wasn't pretty, but like, a win's a win at the end of the day, and it is all they needed to keep kind of the next two periods alive. And it reminded me a little bit of Munster rugby at the moment, where they're playing absolute utter shite at times, but they're kind of being like, well, look, we're 3-3 for the first time since 2021. Who cares if we're playing shite as long as we keep on winning?
Yeah, they're playing not great, but I think the effort is there all the time. It's not like they're going out to the pitch and it looks like they're not making an effort. I think that's what a lot of people's criticisms of this Irish team over the last couple of weeks has been. Like, the first game, everyone's like, this is the worst, which has been said a lot. This is the worst Irish football performance I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Then they go out against Portugal and it's like, put it all on the pitch for 90 minutes and everyone's couldn't be prouder. And then they do that again on Tuesday. So I think it's more of an effort point of view.
Yes.
That people are saying this isn't good enough. Whatever the result is, if you're going out there kind of strolling around, that's not good enough when you're wearing an Irish jersey.
Yeah, Keith Tracy was saying that yesterday. He was like, you know, every time he heard Aaron Ravine, like, he would get goosebumps and he just wanted to run through walls on that pitch for his country and for the people supporting them. And he was like, I'm sure they feel that way, but you don't see that on the pitch.
Yeah.
But we were out in the street this morning chatting to people, as we always do, about how they feel about Irish football at the moment. We've got a very short snippet to share with you about, I don't know, it kind of sums up the general mood in the country at the moment.
As like that famous quote where it's like, it can't go on like this, but like Red Ireland, it definitely can't keep going like this. So I think the pressure is higher because I just want to see them do better and do well.
I kind of feel for the players who I'm sure are feeling awful at this stage as well. But it is just a general mood of like, when will we get better?
But you kind of want them to feel awful. As an Irish person, I don't want the Irish players to leave the football pitch after a display like against Armenia, where we only really got over the line after a sending off, and for them to go, okay, well done, lads, that was enough. It very much wasn't enough. And to ensure that it doesn't go on like this, you know, we have massive fixtures coming up. Like Portugal is going to be probably our biggest game in years. You want them to be angry at how they played.
And come out like feeling something, like Rachel said.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it's not, you know, even if it's just for themselves to prove, you know, obviously you want to play for your country and the weight of the shirt should be heavy. I think Seamus Coleman was saying that this week. But at the end of the day as well, just for yourself, get on that pitch and show that not only do you deserve to be there, but that you want to be there.
Yeah. You know? Give me a little rundown, Eve, of because Irish football wasn't always this much of a sad story, was it?
No. I mean, in my lifetime, it's never been exactly a happy story, unfortunately. If you look at the Republic of Ireland team, we're currently 61st in the world.
Are we that low?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, I didn't realize that.
And it's, I mean, listen, it's gotten better. Our lowest ever ranking was in June 2014, where we were 70th in the world, which, again, not great.
No.
Our highest was in December 92, and we were there for a while. We were 6th in the world.
That's like, that's pretty amazing.
Respectable.
To be fair.
That's, yeah, exactly. And that
I
was,
would say that's above respectable. That's like you're reaching for the stars.
Exactly.
There.
You are a proper, you know, footballing nation.
Yeah.
Now we're 61st. And I think if you ask anybody of a certain generation, so maybe just a little bit older than the three of us, who remembers the likes of Italia 90 and how much the country sort of got itself into a fever pitch of excitement and how well the Irish team did to make it to the quarterfinals. And then Euro 94 as well. That was probably the golden age of Irish football. And if we keep trying to recapture that feeling, it's kind of like when British people talk about London 2012, you know, the Olympics.
Mm.
They're like, everything is downhill since then. And it's that sort of
lovely way to look at life.
Well, yeah. But you're trying to recapture a moment in time as well as a performance of a national team. I think we're far cry away from Italia 90 right
One
now.
Direction, sorry, completely random.
Where
brain,
is this going?
Brain moment. One Direction performed at the London 2012 Olympics, and that made it for me, actually, because I was about 13 years old and the biggest Directioner we'd ever come across. I had every wall in my room, like, not a small room, like probably about the size of the studio. No, okay, it was smaller than that. About half of it. Two full walls covered in posters.
Die Hard.
Bed, duvet with their faces on it. Pillowcase with their faces on it. The perfume.
And, oh, actually, I didn't listen to One Direction, but I did have the perfume. Who was your favorite?
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at Owner's Box. .com/footballfuelpointstc.
Niall, off.
Thank you. Because he's from Westmeath and so am I. So when I was a kid, there used to be like a game of like who can get the closest kind of connection to Niall Horan. There were people in school being like, do you know, my cousin's bin man, his daughter goes to school with Niall Horan's cousin.
Yeah.
And it's like, you basically know him.
Yeah.
I used to ask anyone, because I didn't live in Ireland, I thought it was smaller. Well, I mean, it is pretty small, but I thought it was even smaller than it is. And I used to ask anyone who lived in the Mullingar, like, general area, if they knew Niall Horan. And they probably all told me yes, even though it was a complete lie. But I believed them all. Anyway, sorry, back to football. You were talking about people a little bit older than us and kind of what they remembered and how that influenced their kind of relationship with Irish football. And we were chatting to a man on the street today who kind of sums that up quite nicely.
There's been an argument made by some, I suppose, people in the football world in the past few days that international football is boring and it's not what people want to watch, but you would disagree with that?
Oh, it'd be the opposite, yeah. At least you're, like, I'm engaged in a game, an international game, whereas Premier League, like, it's great to watch, but I don't really care who wins that much.
What brings you back watching the team, even though it's looking unlikely like we're going to qualify?
It's just a connection from my youth, like Italia 90, you know, there are the great days. I don't know, I don't really... Football has become so commercial now in the club game in England. At least national games are like about the sport and the support as much as money, I suppose.
We were chatting to somebody earlier on who said he would be very much club over country. Would you rather your country win a trophy or qualify for a cup, or the club you support?
Oh, country by miles. I don't really support any clubs.
There's a lot to unpack in that clip. Yeah. First of all, have to touch on Italia 90. Like, when we asked everyone why, despite the Mrs. Doyle misery, why you keep coming back to support your country, it's saying, like, we reached that peak in the 90s and none of us were around, but no, we still understand the fever that overtook the country. And it's, if you ask anyone that was like a sporting fan or not, what one of their highlights of the 90s was, they'll say that penalty shootout, you know, yeah, and that save. And when you see clips from it, it's just pure joy. So that's clearly a big driver for why people keep supporting the team. But that man was interesting. To be fair, I'd say he is less of a football fan and less more just hard, like, oh, I'll go to support my country, because
yeah,
he did say he would support Ireland over a Premier League team any day. But then he said he wouldn't really care who would win if he's watching the Premier League. So it's probably like a different point of view to someone like yourself, Eve, who's a diehard Tottenham fan.
Yeah, because it's interesting for me, and I want to get you in on this, Susanna, for a second, because obviously I'm born and raised in Ireland. My father is Irish. My mother is English. So I have a little, not torn loyalties, because I would be first and foremost an Ireland fan, but I grew up watching the Premier League. I actually grew up going to the odd England game at Wembley because, you know, I'm a child of two.
Much to your shame.
Exactly. Yeah. But Susanna, having grown up outside of Ireland, when you were growing up, which national team did you find yourself connected to?
I am a bit of a funny fish now. Yeah. I've got a lot of... Oh, this is a creepy analogy, but like tentacles in different places. I don't know why that just came to my brain. But I was saying to you earlier, soccer was one of the first sports I played after hockey. Mm. And I played it all the way up through school, and I played it in college for a year in Trinity before I decided rugby, just there was too much going on and I enjoyed it more and I didn't have time to do both. But I never really would have watched that much soccer, which I think is interesting because I think there's a lot of people maybe in Ireland who watch a lot of soccer but don't play as much. So it's a bit of a different, it's almost like a role reversal. But my dad is half Dutch. So any of my earliest memories in relation to football are watching Holland.
Yeah.
Probably because he made me to. And also because, yeah, you have a bit of a national, you have a bit of pride and a bit of a link to them, even if you don't really watch the sport in general.
Yeah.
I used to always say I support Ireland when they play rugby and I support Holland when they play football, because I just chose the team that was better.
That's kind of me, because I would support Ireland for, you know, football. But if, say, it's the Ashes and England are playing Australia in the cricket, but I'm like, I would support England. I don't, because a lot of Irish people have this kind of anyone but England view of supporting.
Dara's shaking his head at you.
Yeah.
You don't choose from whence you were born or whatever.
Dara's
that's
in
different
C2,
for
by
you
the way.
Though, because your mom is English. Like, you know, it's,
and she is of, like, she lived in Ireland. She's lived in Ireland most of her life, but she would support England over Ireland if they were playing in the football, for example.
Yeah, just to explain that. Sorry, Bronar, lovely producer, is out on a course today, so Dara is stepping in.
Oh yeah,
thank
Dara.
You very much, Dara.
Thank you.
But yeah, but that's kind of the opposite, because I supported Holland because they were always going to be better than Ireland, whereas you supported Ireland. I actually don't know, why do you support Irish football and not English football?
I think just because I've always lived here, I feel more connected to Ireland than I do to England, even though so much of my upbringing was influenced by England.
I suppose your dad as well is the hardcore football fan. Oh no, your mom is too.
My mom is.
But you support the same team as your dad, so maybe the connection is on that Irish side more.
Because that's the thing, that's when we ask people today, like, club or country. We asked a few people that, and obviously the gentleman we just heard from was like, well, I don't support club football.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you put a gun to my head and say, would you rather Ireland win, qualify for the World Cup or Spurs win a trophy? I'd probably say, well, Spurs win a trophy every day of the week, naturally. But if you put a gun to my head and said Ireland win the World Cup or Spurs win a trophy, I would say Ireland.
The country would explode.
Yeah, but that's never going to happen. We're struggling to qualify. But if we're going to let us have a hypothetical and dream, I'd like that.
Well, we did speak to the same guy in the street who talked about bringing his kids to matches, and so maybe he's doing a better job of raising his kids to support Ireland.
Yeah. Let's have a listen to that, because it was quite an interesting kind of, I don't know.
Take,
yes, thank you. Do you think it's hard for kids who are watching Ireland now that, like, when they're an adult, will they still support Ireland because they didn't have the love for it that you obviously did when you were a kid?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. I try and gender my kids to follow just because I tell them about the glory days of the past. By glory days, I mean like getting out of the group stage of a World Cup, you know. But I think that connection will probably stay down. Like, they still get great support and all that from the fans. So I don't think that connection will go away.
One thing I will say about the kind of the great connection from the fans is something that I do really agree with. And we had a comment on Instagram from Jimmy, and he had said, in what world are Irish football fans some of the most passionate in the world? Hardly any of them support a local League of Ireland club. If the Armenia ticket wasn't part of a package that included Portugal and Ronaldo, there would have been 15,000 to 20,000 there at most last night. It's similar to Irish rugby and GAA fans that all turn up for the Six Nations game or an All-Ireland final, but the grounds will be half empty for a club league game. Irish sports fans are bandwagon jumpers, in football's case, obsessed with following English club sides.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. Like, for you to support your country but not have a massive love for the game. Like, obviously you want the club level to grow 100%, and I suppose with football it's a bit different because they're trying to grow the game in order to make the national side better and for football to just grow in general in Ireland. But I just feel like to support your country over everything else, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing.
No, I have no issue with people turning up for Ireland games, and if they don't go to their local League of Ireland club, because it's a very much a different atmosphere, it's very much a different beast. But I also don't agree with the fact that people were only going because it's a package deal, and that, you know, you'd only have 15,000 people there if it wasn't for that. Because I went to the most recent Ireland game that I was at was against Bulgaria in the Nations League in the Aviva back in, I want to say, March, and there was a good like 40,000 people there. You know, it wasn't half empty and you're kind of frantically trying to get a chance going, you know. And listen, if we were playing better football, more people would want to turn up. It's difficult as well for a midweek game on a Tuesday. Like, if you're not from Dublin and you're trying to get your kids up on a school night halfway across the country, if you're from outside of, you know, Leinster even. Actually. So I think considering all of that and considering the ticket prices aren't exactly cheap, great support.
And as well as that, people keep supporting the Irish team, whether they're playing well or not.
Yeah.
As this guy put it beautifully earlier, it's because there's always a chance. It just seems to be that no matter if they're playing unbelievably or playing shockingly, there's always a chance they'll do something great. And it's almost like, I was talking to Matthew earlier, it's like FOMO for football. It's like, fear that you'll miss out on this one magical moment where this team will do something brilliant.
Yeah.
It's nearly like if we were a better side and we're failing at all of these, like, World Cup qualifiers, weren't getting to World Cups or the Euros, everyone would be enraged. But because we're always just there or thereabouts, and maybe sometimes we punch above our weight, that's why we get such good support. Because, yeah, sometimes we're underperforming, but then other times we'll completely overperform. And he summed it up really well.
Yeah, like the game against Portugal where we very narrowly lost 1-0. It wasn't a pretty performance, but you're hanging in there and you're hanging in there and you're going, why are we playing so much better against Portugal than Armenia? And it's because there is a sense of you can rise to an occasion. We just need to be more consistent. We just need to get higher quality players. And that will come with better development pathways. And we're going to talk about that later on with the League of Ireland. But in terms of the next, kind of what the next few months look like for Irish football, we're not dead in the water. There's still a chance that we can make it out of this group and qualify for the World Cup. And that's because, yeah, the players did turn up against Armenia and they won 1-0 and the fans turned up as well. And it might have been pretty. I think Hamer Hallgrimsson said, we'll play shitty football and we'll get a result.
Shitty 1-0.
Shitty 1-0.
He actually predicted it before the actual
game. But I think sometimes you need that to happen. You know, as you were saying there, Rachel, you know, fear of missing out, you know, you want to get the glory when it comes, if you have to sit through a bunch of shocking results. And I felt that with Tottenham the last few years. We were hopelessly bad in the league last season. We finished something like 16th or 17th. But if I had stopped watching and said, oh, fuck this, and then missed language. Us. Well, sorry. And then what wouldn't have been able to fully appreciate winning the Europa League. Yeah. You know, that was a feeling I'll never forget. And kind of talking about this club over country stuff, it's a feeling I've never experienced with Ireland. And I'd love to one day. So yeah, I'll keep watching.
That's similar to your man, you're always a chance man. So he has a, kind of similar point of view. Oh my God, point of view to you. That's a bit of a tongue twister now. So let's give him a listen.
It's also like there's always a chance. Like in football, there's always a chance a team might do well. Like especially like, I know in like the AFCON like nations, like there's always like the underdogs do well. And you think maybe Ireland can do it, especially with the group we had. Like it wasn't like that good of a group. There was only Portugal and we still battled there. So I think like the chance of doing well and like seeing like some talents like Ferguson come true. And then like Ogbeni when he was like around, you just get excited for it. And I think just a chance really like gets you going. That's why I keep coming back to watch it anyway.
And what like club do you support?
Man United. It's not an Irish one though.
And no, I guess my question is, would you rather Man United win a trophy or win 5 games in a row, or would you rather Ireland like qualify for the World Cup or one day win a trophy? What would you like to see more?
Definitely Ireland. Definitely Ireland do something, because like United, like they did something in the past and I can always like look back on that, but like what have Ireland done other than like reach, like they haven't found the World Cup, but like other than that they haven't won anything when I've been around.
I think that's really interesting, because I was doing a little bit of kind of googling on what is Ireland's favourite sport and has that shifted, because my whole kind of, I suppose, idea coming into this was like, why are people still fans of a team that have been doing so poorly? And will they start to not be fans of that team? And that's kind of what we set out to answer. But there's a survey that's been going since 2010 called the Annual Teneo Sport and Sponsorship Sentiment Index. And they basically find out what sports Irish people are kind of engaging with the most that year. And from 2010 to 2018, soccer was the number one sport in all of Ireland. And then in 2018, the Gaelic Games took over. And since then, Gaelic Games has been on top. But soccer is slowly declining, and rugby is slowly catching up. And I was just looking at some of kind of the answers over the past couple of years. And like, I think it was in 2018, what was the greatest sporting achievement? Ireland beating New Zealand in the Autumn Internationals. What was the most memorable sporting moment? Johnny Sexton drop goal against France. So this is all like people were voting and these were the ones that got the most votes. Then last year, you know, Ireland men's rugby team, the second most favourite team in the country with 17%. The rest were all Olympic teams, which kind of makes sense. Six Nations is still the most look forward to event. So I do wonder, does success breed following? And do moments stand out to you? I mean, why does Italia 90 stand out to so many people? Because it was an incredibly amazing sporting moment that will live in people's memories forever. Similar to the Johnny Sexton drop goal. I mean, that lives in your head rent-free. And then when you're asked, what's your favourite sport? It's like, well, maybe rugby, or is that kind of slowly growing in the consciousness of people? And I just wonder over time, if Irish football doesn't catch up. Obviously, I think it's slightly different because so many people will still support their clubs. But in terms of from a national point of view, will people slowly lose interest? It's very pessimistic, but I don't know.
I feel like Ireland, and this has... It's by no means an original thought. It's very well kind of discussed that Ireland is very unique in that we have three very, very popular sports in Gaelic Games, rugby and soccer. So, you know, some of the best athletes in this country aren't playing soccer, they're playing Gaelic.
Mm.
And like, I mean, I grew up watching soccer, but playing Gaelic because that was where my community was. That was all the girls on our street. We went to our local GAA club, Athlone GAA, and that's where I played. And I only played soccer in, I think, school.
Yeah.
You know, so it's... I don't necessarily think that it's what... I do think that kind of seeing iconic moments and remembering them, and it's kind of a national occasion that brings people together, like the rugby and the Six Nations, that will definitely breed following and success. But I think it's on a community level, GAA is more important in this country than football / soccer is.
Say if you were growing up now, though, and you'd Athlone winning the league, playing in the cup final at the weekend.
Oh,
if you're a kid in Athlone, they're your superstars now.
Well, that was a lovely segue into the League of Ireland is stronger than it's ever been before. And that wasn't the case when I was a child. So maybe for someone who is growing up in Athlone now as a young girl, watching the women, Athlone Town women, having won the league, they're in the cup final this weekend. They're punching far above their weight and achieving such incredible things. Yeah, I think that will, in the next generation is going to be stronger than this one here. And that's what we're seeing with League of Ireland footballers right now, like this current generation of the Irish national team, it's still comprised of players mostly who were brought up in the English system and occasionally players who started in the League of Ireland and then went over to the UK. Brexit rules are different now. You can't move before you're 18. But there might be a generational gap where we're in between what we used to have, which was kids going over at 14, 15 years old and training in these incredible academies and then bolstering the national team. And maybe in 10 or 15 years' time, when our League of Ireland academies are stronger now, the league standard is stronger, they're playing consistent European football, that we can compete with the national teams around us and kind of get, you know, get better. But I do think, unfortunately, right now we're in a bit of a grey zone, a kind of a generational gap, where we're still trying to figure out who we are and how to get to the best that we can be.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Sorry, just before you come in, Rachel, I know you have stuff on the League of Ireland, but it is an interesting battle between League of Ireland fans who are like pure League of Ireland and then national fans. They don't seem to like each other all that much. Like Darren on Instagram was like, I challenge anyone who's a regular Irish supporter to try your local League of Ireland team. Just try it. We need our league to grow. Please give it a try. I've made friends for life and get to see live football every week. And then Rory goes, nothing will put people off that the League of Ireland more than the absolute bellends that keep telling others they are not real Ireland fans unless they attend some shithole excuse of a stadium every weekend. Now, that's a bit aggressive, but there does seem to be a bit of a...
I'd say that's a bit of a minority, is that you'll always have the kind of chip on your shoulder. Oh, I've been going to these matches. You see it in Gaa all the time. Like, people are looking for All-Ireland final tickets, and then you've people coming out saying, where were you in the miserable February when they were playing the National League and they weren't performing? So you're always going to have that divide between I follow the sport or I follow the bigger games. Yeah. I think that's going to happen regardless of the sport that you're following.
But I think it's a chip because they know that those people follow Premier League teams, yeah, but won't follow their own.
Yeah, club. And which is changing looks of it. You know, I did a deep dive into why the League of Ireland has become so successful, because, like, I wouldn't be like a major football fan, but when I came home a couple of years, like after being away for a couple of years, I couldn't believe how popular the League of Ireland had become, especially with younger people. And it seemed to be like a lot of serendipitous events in terms of Brexit and that rule changing, mm-hmm, that players now can't transfer over to England until they're 18, where it could have been 16. So the quality of the games is better. Also, I don't know if you can call COVID a good thing, but it did overlap in that because COVID came in, a lot of those people who were supporting Premier League teams couldn't fly over. So they had to attend games in Ireland.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, League of Ireland TV was born just because of COVID. So it's getting all this extra media coverage. And now, obviously, we have Live Comms and Off the Ball. Virgin Media have like a 4-year deal with the League of Ireland, so it's becoming, it's being covered way more, and culturally it's just, it seems like a bit of a movement.
You know, does seem like a bit of crack.
You've
as well,
got those
Bose
jerseys, like Fontaine's kneecap, Annie Mack.
Yeah.
It's in line with what's going on in the country, the bit of like, we're proud of our Irish language now, all this Irish music, and the League of Ireland is just slipping into that so well. I dare you to go to a music festival across the country and not
see a jersey,
one of those Bose jerseys,
yeah, like, everywhere.
They're class, yeah. But it's, I think it's going to build on it. And we had the recent announcement of the money from the government,
yep,
which is being fed into, like, was it 26 academies, mm-hmm, for the League of Ireland? So we're not going to see that effect immediately. Like, that's going to take a good couple of years, but I think it's in a good place. So you've got these people that are supporting the Irish team because of the misery, but hopefully there's brighter days ahead for them.
Exactly. And we were talking to, I think this is our final clip, we're speaking to somebody who was trying to explain just how popular it's gotten amongst kind of his age group.
Yeah, big time. There was like three lads in like in our year who were like the biggest Bohemian ultras ever, and there's another lad who's a big Shelburne ultra, and it really grew in like fifth and sixth year. So I think it is like getting more popular, especially with TikTok. Like, you know, like the TikToker like Nasty, he really like, I feel like he really brought like popularity to it and stuff. So there is some research and like some revival of like League of Ireland now.
I feel like the budget 2026 was welcomed by so many people. It's great news, because since that Brexit rule has come in, our academies need support more than ever. And €3 million, and it's not like it's a one lump sum. This is a multi-annual commitment to improving our academies. That can only be a good thing for both the men and the women. And it's an incredibly exciting time to be a fan of League of Ireland football. I'm going to the Women's FAI Cup final on Sunday, Athlone against Bowes. I'm not even working, which is, I actually get to be in the stands and be a fan and support it. And it's some of the most excited I've been for a football game in ages.
It was kind of nice hearing Kelly Brady as well talk about how, you know, some people don't want to leave Ireland. Some people actually don't want to go to the UK and play their football there. They would like to be here, and they want... Now, this was on the women's side, but, you know, she was hoping that the league becomes more recognised as a place that breeds really good footballers and not just the people who aren't good enough to go over to the UK. Sometimes it's a case of they actually just don't want to live there.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne, who are in Europe right now, to have two Irish teams competing in the Conference League. It's never happened before. It's so exciting. It's an incredibly exciting time to be a fan of Irish football. And you talk to players like Colin Buig has just done a video with Keith Tracy, the making of A Wild Man, Keith Tracy, which is available now. Mm. And Keith was talking about how
nice little plug there.
There we go.
Eve, did you edit that by any chance?
On that note, Eve, how about that thing that we worked on together and on Tala Stadium with Nicola Coffey, which will be out next week?
While
we're on the plugging situation.
Shameless plugs.
Absolutely.
Moving on quickly.
All right, Eve. Well, I'll very quickly say that Keith said he went over at 15. To England to play football.
That's so young.
Imagine the homesickness. Imagine trying to fit in.
Your baby
fit into a new culture and a new country while still trying to become the best footballer you can be. I think if we can have, and this is my word in the studio.
Oh, good. I was about to get there.
Thank you. This is my word in the studio, is if we can have a pathway to develop young Irish players in this country, we're going to reap the benefits of that in a few years' time. The government putting money into this can only be a good thing. And even if, you know, we can like the misery now, wallow in it a little bit, hopefully in a few years' time, we'll be a bit more optimistic about our national team.
Do you think we'll qualify for the World Cup?
No. Sorry. I'm not that optimistic.
Absolutely not. That would take a Herculean, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Effort. Rachel, do you have a word in the studio?
Word in the studio is I'm looking forward to going to a League of Ireland game.
Yeah.
My sister went to one, which is unheard of. The girl wouldn't know a football now if it hit her in the face. So after doing the deep dive into the League of Ireland, looking forward to heading to a game, and hopefully that success can wean its way into the Irish team. And obviously we've got the women playing Belgium next Friday. So hopefully, you know, the women can fly the flag.
And you'll be going to an Athlone Town game, yeah, Rachel?
Yes, of course.
Actually will, as you always like to say, throw an eye over the results after a certain week. And I definitely have become more and more interested in Athlone's kind of success and how well they're doing. But my word in the studio is, I kind of echo you guys, but then also it's kind of made me a little bit proud to be Irish, talking to people today, and like the strength of nationalism that kind of defeats all. Not nationalism, you know what I mean.
That's a different part, Susanna.
Sorry, what's the word?
National pride. I don't know.
It's not the same thing. Obviously, it comes in a different context here, and shouldn't be talking about that. But is that not the right word?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay. Maybe I haven't lived here long enough to know the sentiments that echo around that.
You know, you're a very international person. So it's nice.
He who must not be named in Harry Potter. That's how I felt right there. You completely ruined my point of being proud to be Irish.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. That's a good time to end the pod. We will chat to you next week. We can't wait to hear more of all your word on the street.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in Mike Hankey, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.